This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2046. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded August 6, Antarctica, Australia, Bangladesh, Bougainville, Canada, China, Congo, Cuba, Eritrea, France, Germany, Guinea, India, Indonesia, international waters, Japan, Korea, South and North, Madagascar, Philippines, Spain, Sudan South, Swaziland, Tonga, USA, Vanuatu, Zambia, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Not only did I receive a QSL from Orion Buenos Aires for the special broadcast via Antarctica, as I mentioned last week, but then one direct from LRA 36 for the same broadcast. You may now view both of them via my QSL gallery at worldofradio.com. Since July 25th, they've been on a vacation hiatus, but are scheduled to resume on Saturday, August 8th, from Adrian Corol of RAI via Horacio Negro. There will be a broadcast starting at 17 UT and running straight through uninterrupted for 24 hours until Sunday, August 9th at 17 on 15476. They will include the Corazon Antarctica program and Argentine music and IDs. And then perhaps continuing with broadcasts both on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports on 4KZ, Queensland, 5055. Heard July 31st at 0936 with songs by Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers, and cut off at 0957 and 49 seconds. He says that's about consistent, closing approximately 5 or 6 seconds earlier each day. On August 1st at 1300 to 1305 UT, Ron Howard reports Bangladesh Betar Home Service on 4750 with news. Another strange day with no interference from China or Indonesia. Also on 4750, a decent gray line reception. However, by August 5th, Ron says Bangladesh Betar had resumed putting the external service on 4750. A tone started at 1224, interval signal at 1229, and the external service in English signing on at 1230. All the reception was too poor to be sure of the language. There were three stations present on 4750, producing a real mess. That's usually the case, China and Voice of Indonesia being the others. He was already hearing the other two mixing at 1205 before Bangladesh came on. Thanks to a tip from Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener in Germany, who the day before, on August 4th, was hearing the external service from Bangladesh on 4750. They started at 1745, but he cannot be sure whether it was English. He was hearing some speech and South Asian music. Later, using a remote receiver in India, he did get a clear ID at 1800, but the audio was quite distorted. Wolfgang Büscher was also monitoring via the remote in India August 6th at 1620 and says the spoken part from the radio studio was very overmodulated, distorted audio, but less distorted when it switched to music. The audio signal is really terrible. Meanwhile, Ron forwards news from Mount Orita in Finland, who checked out the Asian pileup on 4750 using various receivers and measuring the exact frequency of each station. Bangladesh external service was exactly on 4750 to three decimal places, but he says they seemed to switch the carrier off sometime between 1430 and 1510, but on August 6th it went off at 1411. Voice of Indonesia was 51 hertz low on 4749.949, and CNR1 Hilar China, which seems to be 24 hours, was 12 hertz low on 4749.988. Furthermore, Ron Howard reports on NBC Bougainville 3325, Sunday, August 2nd, heard from 1255 until 1404 with above-average reception, and no interference from the Indonesian on this frequency. They were carrying NBC National Radio with Christian Sermon in English and playing the PNG National Radio song, which starts, "In our land of a thousand tongues, brothers and sisters old and young, unite our hearts so we feel as one. We pledge to stand together as one people, one nation, one country. God bless Papua New Guinea." and they were on the air more than 2 hours beyond their usual cutoff time of about 1200 UT. Eric Flodain forwards an item from the Fagstein blog of Canadian Radio Developments that the CRTC has ordered CJMS 1040 AM in Quebec to shut down August 31st after more than a decade of failing to meet its license obligations. This appears to be mainly about Canadian content. Among the interesting Canadian utility logs by Jules Letourneau in Montreal and CIDX Messenger, on 5270 USB, communications with bush-type radios from northern Quebec, fishing groups, and family members in French, July 25th at 2210. And on 6507 USB, Iqaluit Nunavut maritime weather broadcast in English, weak but audible at sign on 2235, July 31st. Ron Howard reports on Congo 6115. August 6th, one of their better receptions, clear radio Congo ID and no interference from Japan, heard from 0531 until 0550. I'm not the only one hearing harmonics from Havana. In far north Queensland, Australian DX News, John Adams reports 12200, RHC in English, at 0525 July 4th, better than the fundamental frequency of 6100. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. August 1st at 2151, I was hearing a spur blob at a new spot around 15410. That is, coming out of the 15370 transmitter. Listen for a telltale F-sharp tone, which accompanies these, as well as some other multiples above and below of approximately 40 kilohertz in this case. On August 1st, Kai Ludwig in Germany reports that the Eritrean clandestine on 17545 appears to be back on the air. An hour at 15 UT is registered by RMI via France on that frequency at 120 degree azimuth. He thinks he did hear them mention Eritrea and Al-Smud, or a similar name, to the station we were last hearing in February of 2019. WRTH Update had it scheduled then as Saturdays only in Tigrinya and Arabic. It's Saut al-Sumud, or Voice of Steadfastness. We've been wondering about the name of a program from Germany being broadcast via Nauen called Radio Zeta 2, spelled capital letters S-E hyphen T-A. In communication of the British DX Club, they say it's apparently an abbreviation of Sender Tannenberg, Tannenberg being a town in Saxony. Last week we had a report that Guinea had been missing from its only shortwave frequency 9650. However, on Hardcore DX, Rodolfo Figrim in Brazil reports hearing it July 30th at 2056 with an ID in French. However, I still am not hearing it at various checks day and night on 9650. With the general overseas service from All India Radio still suspended from several hours a day in English, we shortwave listeners have been relying on a relay of the domestic service news at 15 to 1530 UT on 11560. However, Alan Rowe in UK reports on July 31st that was no longer there. Instead, they had extended their Pashto language service. Rob Wilson in Scotland says there is still English news on their domestic service online at 15 to 1530. And Joe Jacobs says news in English is also still on the domestic service shortwave frequencies, if you can get them. Reminder of the main frequency for the amateur radio Hurricane Watch Net, 14325 USB. I was hearing it August 1st at 1310 with position info about Huracan Isaias. Mike Terry forwards a story August 3rd from Nikkei News in Japan, NHK to reduce satellite TV and radio channels, consolidating its number of satellite TV channels from 4 to 2 or less, and radio stations from 2 to 1. Also cut spending to the 600 jiga yen level from 720 jiga yen. Walt Salmaniv replies from BC, this is potentially huge. I interpret this as a consolidation of the NHK 1 and 2 networks into one. For those of us into Trans-Pacific medium wave DXing, this could mean monumental changes to the AM band. On IRCA, Bruce Porter says NHK 2 mostly has language lessons, which could be taught at least as well over the Internet. The electrical bill for all those transmitters could buy a lot of servers and routers. There's lots more discussion about this and speculation about whether it impacts shortwave and how it impacts television in the World of Radio IO group. where Martin Williams in California says, another story from NHK itself confirms reduction in domestic satellite TV broadcasting, and for radio, it will look at consolidating its three networks, Radio 1, Radio 2, and NHK-FM, into two stations. The Nikkei story did not mention NHK-FM. The assumed shutting down one AM station means shutting down its transmitter network. Ron Howard reports that clandestine Voice of Freedom from South to North Korea has moved back to its alternate frequency 5920, July 31st, heard from 948 to 1101, and the super jamming was still up on the former frequency 6045. And the same continued August 1st. As for the other two clandestines from South to North Korea, the jump-around frequencies as of Monday, August 3rd, were Voice of the People, best on 3480, also 3910, 3930, 4450, 6520, and 6600, heard at 1128. And just before that, starting an English language lesson at 11:24, the other station, Echo of Hope, 3980, 4885, 5990, 6250, 6348, and 9100. And Shokaze, or Sea Breeze, also changed its frequencies. They do it about once a month, on July 30th, according to Hiroshi. 13 to 14 both have some jamming, although they may be intended for other stations. Here's the lineup as put together by Ivo Ivanov. 6040 did not change. The new frequency is 6165 at 13, including English, normally only on Thursdays. The repeat at 16 to 17 on 5920 and 5980. And the other broadcast in between at 1405 to 1435, carrying Furusato no Kaze, now on 6090 and 7325. Ron Howard in California reports on long path reception of Radio Madagascara 6135, heard August 1st at 1338. He says, back on July 29th, I noted the station with transmitter problems, and still the same on August 1st, on for several minutes and off for a minute or two, and over. Decent reception anyway around his local sunrise. The North Korean super jamming that was there on July 28th was just for one day before returning to 6045 on July 29th. Then on August 4th, Ron reports on 6135, Madagascar going off between 1344 and 45, 52 and 53, 59 and 1400, and 06 to 08. But decent strength with pop songs and commercials. Wonderful to have this frequency free of North Korean jamming. Dave Hughes in Kansas City reports on August 3rd, I've been listening to Radio Pilipinas Worldwide, as they call themselves, for several days, at 02 to 03 UT on 17820, via various South Asian remotes, or South Korea, Taiwan, and Japan seem to be the best. They end the English program at 0300, not the listed 0330. However, Kai Ludwig wonders if this can continue, since President Duterte has just imposed another lockdown affecting a quarter of Philippine population, about 25 mega people. Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener says, you wonder whether a published schedule is wrong, or is it the frequency planning? According to HFCC, there is self-inflicted interference planned by the Far East Broadcasting Company in the Philippines. Two different languages at the same time on the same frequency, at 0930 to 10, 15450, in Mongolian via their IBA site, and in a Sumatran language via the Bokaui site. Azimuths are 85 degrees apart, so maybe they think they can get away with the share. But, at least in Europe, there was quite a mutual uselessness of reception. The media magazine you monitor with your mind. World of Radio 2046. Our thanks this week for financial support from Doug Brown in London, Ontario, who sent a U.S. dollar check to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684. ENID OK 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. This also helps to support our website, worldofradio.com, where among many other things you will find updated reference schedules of DX, SWL, and media programs, Alan Rowe's hit list of shortwave stations, and of course our own updated World of Radio schedules. By the way, where we see that according to WRMI scheduling, our UT Saturday 0130 broadcast is no longer on 5850 or 5010, but on 7780 and new 9955. An additional broadcast is shown up on 7780, Saturday at 2300, although on Wednesday into Thursday, that transmitter was off the air. The following stems from my noting a spot on the World Radio TV Handbook Glossy Map of Europe of a shortwave site on the southwest coast of Spain at San Fernando. It's not for a broadcaster, but for a time signal station, EBC, which is listed in the book. This led Richard Langley in New Brunswick to do some research. He says it appears that station, formerly operated by the Real Instituto y Observatorio de la Armada, abbreviated ROA, has been off the air for years and has likely been decommissioned. It used to be listed on their website, which can be accessed from the Wayback Machine. It was temporarily out of service in December 2014. Its schedule had been for only less than 1 hour a day on weekdays, 10 to 11 on 15006 and 4998. But he says there are reports it was out of service much earlier. It never came back and is not mentioned in the ROA portal on the Spanish Navy website. It continued to be listed by the International Bureau of Weights and Measures annual report on time activities up until 2017, but for 2018, it was no longer listed. So he says, I think it's safe to conclude EBC has been decommissioned and should not be in the WRTH. Mike Cooper in Georgia recommends RNE3, the cultural network of Spanish national radio available on webcasts, a source of strong contemporary music programming, but has revamped its weekend evening schedule. It seems to do this every 5 or 10 years. Gone are electronic music and rap shows on Friday and Saturday nights. Late on Friday nights, there is Paralelo Tres, 2 hours of electronic music, followed by 2 hours of groovy nights. Then 1 hour of No Dormirás, or Don't Go to Sleep, pretty avant-garde spooky music like scary film excerpts, whispering or frantic voices, a crying baby, moaning zombies, whimpering dogs, shrieks, and more. That's 3 a.m. Spanish time. Not a show to make you fall asleep. It reminds him of the provocative show that aired on RNE and REE shortwave a few years ago, Desde el Infierno. And there's more. Mike says, while I miss the shows they're taking off, RNE3 is very good about keeping old programming available online for streaming and downloading as audio files. I'm glad there are still some international public broadcasters producing programming like this. Check out their schedule, that is for Radio 3, at rtve.es. In the NASA fly sheet, John Filiozzi in New York reports about a language still on shortwave from Radio Exterior de España, weekly exotic-sounding program in Ladino, Sundays at 21:30 to 22 on 9690 and others. It's for Sephardic Jews, news, stories, and traditional music. The music sounds especially good on HF because of the powerful signal on 9690. The special additional broadcast of iRadio for South Sudan we mentioned last week concerning COVID-19 have not shown up. Ivo Ivanov and I have been checking for them. Perhaps there's been some delay. It should have been at 05UT on 7340 via Madagascar and at 15 on 15410. It's not clear whether they were to be every day of the week, weekdays only, or weekends only. Kai Ludwig explains that the additional 2 hours every day planned for August 1st as iRadio Corona Special in HFCC have not been implemented, and not Monday to Friday only. Technical plannings or just wishful thinking are one thing, but raising funds is another. Running out of money is nothing new for that operation. Transworld Radio Swaziland has been clashing with other stations. Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight is trying to reach a frequency manager there because 9515 has KBS South Korea and Swaziland at 1745, making a lot of interference in Europe a dreadful clash since the start of A20 season. No response about this from KBS, which Wolfgang Büschel says has been on 9515 for decades. Ivo Ivanov points out another clash on 9500 between TWR Africa and Romania, between 1630 and 1900. No shortwave broadcast from Tonga for many, many years, but here's a maritime station reported by Brian Clark in New Zealand DX Times on 6215. Heard July 19th at 1841, It's station A3A, Nuku'alofa Maritime Radio, with an exchange with a vessel, including comprehensive weather info in English. Good reception for him. But beware, on 6215 there is also Sound of Hope and Chinese jamming, Korean numbers, and Hong Kong Rescue Radio, according to IB. The controversy I mentioned last week about VOA forwarding a pro-Biden campaign video aimed at Muslims was just breaking as last week's program went to press, but there's been a lot more discussion of it since, both in the mainstream press and a contentious discussion at our World of Radio IO group. I can hardly do any of this justice in the few minutes remaining, but I'll cover some main points. Politico.com had a story on July 30th headlined, "Deleted Biden Video Sets Off a Crisis at Voice of America." It says Voice of America is weighing a suspension of four contractors who were involved in publishing a story and video that was deemed too favorable to Joe Biden's presidential campaign. Thanks to David Cole for that story. John Filiozzi says, "Oh please, how many U.S. viewers and listeners does VOA Urdu have? Zero. It's an international service, not many American voters out there. And if there are any, they're not likely watching or listening to the VOA, that's for sure. Sounds fishy to me. Better to look at what this misdirection is trying to obscure." Dan Robinson replies, "Doesn't matter if there are 3,000 or 3,000 Urdu-speaking voters here or anywhere. This is exactly the kind of thing that points to the political bias problem in the ranks of U.S. AGM and VOA employees. In a news organization where people should know better than to allow partisan positions to appear in news product. Damn right it looks bad on its face." This goes on into another angle about which Kim Andrew Elliott wrote in TheHill.com, titled "The Voice of America's Visa Conundrum." But first, John Filiozzi replies, "Since the target audience for VOA is Urdu speakers outside the country, and no one there presumably is an American citizen, it's hard to fathom how the Biden piece could be construed as a violation of the Hatch Act or an attempt to influence the election. It seems a rather minor incident, albeit technically a violation of VOA standards and practices. It's been amplified for some purpose other than simply correcting something that would, under any other circumstance, be considered simply an internal disciplinary matter. I wonder who that audience of one could possibly be." Then there's a Washington Post story of August 2nd by Paul Farhi. "With their visas in limbo, journalists at VOA worry that they'll be thrown out of America. Brithio Segovia has less than a month before his time is up. With his visa set to expire at the end of August, the VOA reporter will be obligated to leave the U.S. and go back to Spain, his native country. Under normal circumstances, he wouldn't have to worry about losing his job at VOA, where he's covered the White House for the Latin American service the past 2 years. For decades, VOA foreign staff have routinely had their visas renewed by the parent organization, enabling them to fill jobs for which they have special experience and expertise. But the new chief executive, a Trump appointee named Michael Pack, has stopped renewing visas, leaving 76 VOA employees like Segovia facing imminent removal and undermining the agency's ability to deliver news to non-English-speaking audiences around the world. Staffers argue Pack has not said why. Segovia, an experienced journalist who speaks 7 languages, says, "We are here because we worked for it by the merits legally. I feel frustrated because I can't get an answer from PAC, and sad because we know this will hurt VOA. At the end of the day, we're here because we love this country. It is unjust." For some of Segovia's colleagues, stakes are even higher. They include people from countries headed by authoritarian regimes who fear persecution once they are repatriated, among them from Venezuela, China, Russia, Iran, and other nations. VOA published a story last month about a journalist in their Thai service. She is in limbo, had to apply for a repatriation flight back to Thailand. Her wife, who is in the U.S. on a spouse visa, is not eligible for repatriation because she is not a Thai national. Instead, she will have to return to her home city, Toronto, leaving the couple indefinitely separated. Dan Robinson says, "Think about this. The hiring of Segovia on a J-1 visa was pretty outrageous. They are supposed to be for temporary exchange, mainly for students, scholars, and au pair. Segovia is from Spain. Why was the agency hiring a Spaniard to cover Latin America? Why did the agency hire someone whose career had been spent mainly in Russia for RT? He was apparently their Washington correspondent, and I wonder what kind of visa he had for that. Kim Elliott says the interesting question is whether past work for Russia Today should be a disqualifier, or should we consider RT's loss to be VOA's gain? Maybe he came to VOA to have more journalistic independence. And would Trump's appointee PAC dismiss Segovia because he worked for Russian television? And Kim says Segovia is a formidable TV news talent, and that could be helpful to VOA, thus justifying the J-1 visa. Via Ron Howard, see also an op-ed by Madeleine Albright and Mark Nathanson in the LA Times of August 4th. Also August 4th, in RealClearPolitics.com, via David Cole, who points out it's a Trump-friendly site, see U.S. Broadcast Agency didn't thoroughly vet foreign workers. And via Kim Elliott, VOA News itself published a story about this on August 5th, headlined, U.S. Media Agency Reports Years-Long Problems with Vetting Employees. And so it goes on and on. Although there have been some outages at WRMI, as far as we can tell, they escaped any hurricane problems far enough inland from the path of Isaias to get no more than 20-mile-per-hour gusts, according to NWS Okeechobee Info. No hurricanes yet hitting New Orleans, but WRNO has been missing for quite a while, from 7505, as late as August 5th, not there between 01 and 04. In fact, the last time I logged it was on June 10th, but it was running dead air at that time, indicating some problem. The first noted missing date was July 22nd. I checked their website, WRNOWorldwide.com. It's strange, with moving views of snow-covered hills on the home page. The event page for upcoming programs shows none since July 13th. Ron Howard in California continues to monitor Radio Vanuatu. He can actually hear the fundamental 3945. August 1st, they played the national anthem at 11:04, then some dead air, but started playing nonstop pop songs at 11:09. While the third harmonic, 11835, was heard August 2nd from as early as 02:50 until 05:05. But the usual hour in English at 03:30 was preempted on Sunday for Bislama. On August 5th, I had third harmonic 11835 in better than usual with good modulation, maybe in English, and definite ID at 06:30 as Radio Vanuatu. On August 3rd until 06:05, Ron Howard was hearing not only 11835 and 7890, but the fourth harmonic, some traces of audio on 15780, a first for him. Ray Robinson of Voice of Hope Africa in Zambia says evening broadcasts have resumed instead of mornings due to changes in power load shedding. Now scheduled daily at 14 to 16 on 6065 and 9680, and 16 to 2130 on 4965 and 6065. However, Ivo Ivanov points out that 6065 is clashing with Iran for an hour at 1623. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio 2046. According to WRMI scheduling, our UT Saturday 0130 broadcast is no longer on 5850 or 5010, but on 7780 and new 9955. An additional broadcast has shown up on 7780, Saturday at 2300, although on Wednesday into Thursday, that transmitter was off the air. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder, geomagnetic field quiet, A and K indices of 5 and 2, until August 29th, unsettled 12 and 4. Solar flux tipping to 69 between August 12th and 17th, and up to 73 by the 26th. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 2046, with a standard disclaimer.